Before dawn on Sunday, August 5th, 1962, a warm wind swept off the Mojave Desert and rushed into the Los Angeles Basin, swaying the tall trees that formed a curtain of privacy around the Brentwood home of Marilyn Monroe. Antique wind chimes that had been a gift from the poet Carl Sandburg softly tolled in the darkness. Strange sounds were carried on the wind during the night, shouting and the crash of broken glass. Neighbors reported that a hysterical woman had yelled, "Murderers! You murderers! Are you satisfied now she's dead?" Mr. and Mrs. Abe Landau, who lived to the immediate west of Marilyn Monroe, had returned home from a dinner party late Saturday evening and had seen an ambulance and a police car parked in the cul-de-sac in front of the film star's residence. Near midnight, neighbors heard a helicopter hovering overhead. There were other strange sights and sounds before dawn as the city slept. In the crush of time and extremity, the film star's home was carefully rearranged. Telephone records were seized, papers and notes were destroyed, and a frantic phone call was placed to the White House. Shortly before midnight, a dark Mercedes sped east on Olympic Boulevard in Beverly Hills. Estimating the car to be driving in an excess of 55 miles per hour, Beverly Hills police officer Lynn Franklin flipped on his siren and lights and gave chase. When the Mercedes pulled to a stop, Franklin cautiously walked to the driver's side and directed his flashlight toward the three occupants. He immediately recognized that the driver was actor Peter Lawford. Aiming his flashlight at the two men seated in the rear, he was surprised to see the Attorney General of the United States, Robert Kennedy, seated next to a third man he later identified as Dr. Ralph Greenson. Lawford explained that he was driving the Attorney General to the Beverly Hilton Hotel on an urgent matter. Reminding Lawford that he was in a 35-mile-per-hour zone, Officer Franklin waved them on. At midnight Saturday, August 4, 1962, Sergeant Jack Clemens came on duty as watch commander at the West Los Angeles Police Department. Clemens's duties proved to be routine until the call that came in shortly before dawn. The caller identified himself as Dr. Hyman Engelberg and said, "Marilyn Monroe has died. She's committed suicide." Thinking it could be a hoax, Clemens asked, "Who did you say this is?" "I'm Dr. Hyman Engelberg, Marilyn Monroe's physician. I'm at her residence. She's committed suicide." "Give me the address. I'll be right over." Clemens noted that it was 4:25 a.m. and wrote the time in his logbook. Driving down San Vicente Boulevard, he radioed for a backup patrol car to meet him at 12305 Fifth Helena Drive. Finding the address, he pulled through the open gates into the courtyard, where several cars were already parked. Clemens got out and walked toward the hacienda-style home. After knocking on the front door, he heard footsteps and whispered conversation from inside. A full minute later, the porch light came on and a middle-aged woman opened the door. She seemed fearful and nervous, as she identified herself as Eunice Murray, the housekeeper. Confirming that Marilyn Monroe had committed suicide, she led Clemens to a bedroom where a body lay sprawled across the bed. A sheet had been pulled up over her head, leaving visible only a shock of ash-blonde hair. A distinguished-looking man sat near the bed, his head bowed, his chin in his hands. Engelberg identified himself as the person who had called the police. Another man standing near the nightstand introduced himself as Dr. Ralph Greenson, Monroe's psychiatrist. "She committed suicide," Dr. Greenson said. Then, gesturing toward an empty container of Nembutal on the nightstand, he added, "She took all of these." Clemens could sense the two doctors watching him as he drew back the sheet that covered the naked body. It was indeed Marilyn Monroe. But the face known to millions of moviegoers all over the world was without makeup and splotched with the lividity of death. A telephone cord ran over one side of the bed and lay beneath her. Her body appeared to be bruised.